Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, listener, I don't know if you've ever paid over the odds for a match ticket or a concert ticket. It can be really, really infuriating. But under new legislation approved today by government, it will be against the law to resell tickets to live events, matches and concerts in designated events and venues at a price above face value. I'm joined now by Minister of State with responsibility for trade, promotion, digital and company regulation. And that is, of course, Robert Troy of Fianna Fáil. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Cormac, and good evening to your listeners.
No, this is a piece of legislation that an awful lot of people will be interested in. It's in the pipeline for an awful long time, though. So tell me, what types of matches and gigs will it apply to?
Well, firstly, I welcome the publication or the government approval to publicise the bill. I hope to introduce the bill in the Dáil in the next few weeks. And the bill will prohibit the resale of tickets above face value in designated venues and for designated events.
What is a designated venue?
A designated venue is a venue with a capacity of 1,000 people or more who apply for designation. And people can apply for designation based on a reasonable expectation that there will be a high demand for tickets in that event, for that venue or for that event.
So if they expect it to sell out, basically?
Correct, yes.
What if they don't apply for designation?
Well, there is capacity within the legislation for the Minister for Enterprise, Corran Tánaiste, to put designation on venues if they don't to put a designation on a venue if they don't make an application themselves. But I don't envisage anybody won't wish to make an application, because what this is about at the end of the day is this is about ensuring that genuine fans, genuine patrons of sporting, cultural, music events mm-hmm. get access to tickets at the face value. We want to prohibit the resale of tickets, and we want to ensure the ticket touts who profit here on the back of genuine fans can no longer do this.
Yeah, it's a great idea and everybody wants it stamped out, but it seems like a cumbersome system to me. Why not just force the promoters to designate a venue or an event and just apply the rule here for everyone, universally?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that this legislation is in the office since 2017, when at that time both the then Deputy Rock and current Minister Donnelly brought forward a private member's bill. A further private member's bill was brought forward by Deputy Quinlivan, and we have my department working with the Office of Attorney General has been working on the legislation since. We have gone through pre-legislative scrutiny and we have come up with this legislation as the most effective and the most robust piece of legislation.
I know, but my question is, it seems cumbersome even after all of that analysis. Why not just designate or connect it to the licence for an event or so on? If you have X amount of people at an event, if you're staging this event, you have to designate this as one of these events that where you cannot resell for over the face value of a ticket. Why not just do that?
But there's no major bureaucratic process in making an application. And as I said, I believe that venues and events will have no problem making the application, because at the end of the day, they want to ensure that their promoters and their patrons can access the venue, can access the event by paying a fair price for the ticket.
There are some exemptions, aren't there, Minister?
The fair price for the ticket is the face value. There are two exemptions, and the exemptions are for charitable purpose and for amateur sports clubs, acknowledging the fact that both charities and indeed amateur sports clubs do often use tickets as a mechanism of raising much needed funds. So they are the two exemptions.
So the GAA is an amateur organisation. I mean, you're not talking about the All-Ireland Hurling Final, for example, to be exempted from this, are you?
No, what I'm talking about is the likes of a local GAA club, be it my own Banlacarrigy GAA in County Westmeath or any other local GAA club, who on an annual basis will have a raffle for maybe two All-Ireland tickets, and that raffle can invariably bring in multiple thousands for a small sports club or a small GAA club, which is much needed funds at a particular time of mm-hmm. year, and the outlay is the two All-Ireland tickets. So we don't want to outlay something like that, but what we do want outlay is where a genuine fan who wants to go to an All-Ireland can't get access to a ticket at a face value and is offered a ticket for maybe multiples of that value on the day, and we want to ensure that doesn't happen.
So by God, wouldn't we love to go to an All-Ireland final with full capacity, or even a percentage of capacity, or a concert or whatever? And I noted that in January of this year, MCD boss Dennis Desmond said he was confident that Longitude, for example, July in Marley Park, would go ahead this summer. Now, how confident are you that events like that, concerts like that, will go ahead this summer?
Well, look, we're hopeful that we will be able to reopen the economy, and I think we have made very good progress, and you've heard the most latest figures earlier on in your programme this evening. We want to work towards reopening the economy, and we want to work towards reopening events such as sporting events, such as music events. But we would be wrong not to acknowledge that when those do reopen, they won't be open at the same level with the same capacity as they have been heretofore. And I think that's why it's even all the more timely and more critical that this legislation is brought through the Oireachtas in a timely fashion to ensure that where we're going to have a far greater demand than we will have supply of tickets for events, that we don't have people profiteering on the back of high ticket prices.
I might tap your brain on this, Minister, because it just strikes me that if you have a concert, if a concert is allowed to go ahead in the summer and it's a big billing, you'll have reduced capacity, as you say, so fewer tickets and a huge appetite. An awful lot of people will want to go. So the ticket price naturally then will only go one way. I mean, is there anything that can be done in government to restrict ticket prices for concerts with restricted capacity to stop that from spiralling out of control?
What this legislation is about the secondary selling of tickets and about ticket touts. It's not about the primary selling.
I know,
selling
but I'm just
tickets.
Asking you about the primary selling.
Well, the primary selling is the open market, and people tend to sell products at a price that people are willing to pay. The price that people will be charged will be open, will be transparent. What this legislation is about, prohibiting the secondary sales of tickets and people looking to profit here on the back of that.
Okay. Can I ask you about another issue that's doing the rounds in papers and the media today? And it's about the appointment of Robert Watt as Secretary General of the Department of Health. Now, government decided to approve an 81,000 salary increase for the role, which would have brought Robert Watt's salary, I think, to €292,000. But Robert Watt, it comes to light today, has decided to temporarily waive the salary increase. Was this requested by government, Minister?
But I'm not a member of government, so I don't know that. But I'm led to believe, and Mr. Watt himself has said, that this was a voluntary waiver. I welcome the fact that he has made this decision. I also welcome the fact that we now have a permanent Secretary General of the Department of Health.
Yeah, is a waiver, though, before you move on from that, is the waiver a permanent or a temporary waiver of the increase?
My understanding and reading the statement that Mr. Watt has put out is it's a waiver during the period of COVID and during the times of economic uncertainty.
So it will be paid back to him?
That I don't understand. I'm not aware of. My understanding is a waiver is when you waive something, you surrender it, you forgo it, and that's what he's doing.
But the salary will be €292,000. I mean, can you really justify that level of salary, even though the job is onerous? Can you justify it to people who might be on PUP or CRSP payments or might have their business diminished over the past year?
Yes, I can understand why people would have that opinion. I think this is a very important role. It's a very important role within the public service. The challenges that are facing the Department of Health in terms of COVID, in terms of implementing the Sáinte Care, in terms of rolling out the vaccination process, which I think is critically important for the people who are on PUP, for the people who have seen their businesses closed temporarily. We need to see the vaccination roll out. We need to see our economy reopening to ensure that people can get back to work and that people can come off the PUP and people can go back to earning a living in their business.
Does that justify that salary, I wonder? I mean, the Taoiseach's role, for example, is as onerous at least and as wide ranging at least, but he doesn't earn that salary.
He doesn't. And as you're aware, the Taoiseach took a voluntary reduction, as all ministers took when this new government was formed back in July.
So how can this €292,000 salary be justified?
Well, that's the decision the government has taken. The advice the government had at the time was that they needed to improve the terms and conditions to attract the right candidate for this role.
And I've outlined who gave that advice?
I've outlined the reasons that we need the right candidate in this role. The successful candidate has now been appointed. He has been appointed through the appropriate channel. And that successful candidate, as it happens, is now working for the original terms and conditions, which is welcome.
So, as it happens, after scouring the place for the ideal candidate, the candidate was in situ as an interim appointee to that position. Isn't that correct? Well, look, that was Minister Robert Troy of Fianna Fáil. Minister, thank you very much indeed. I'm really grateful to you for joining us on the programme this evening, primarily to talk about the legislation to stamp out ticket touting. Like,